a broken and a contrite heart. It's those with a broken and a contrite heart whom God seeks to save. David writes in Psalm 51, "The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise." A broken and a contrite heart. Have you a broken and a contrite heart? It's not easy to find those who have a truly broken and contrite heart. It's a rare thing, isn't it? Most have a proud and a strong and an arrogant heart, a hard heart, or a cold heart. Oh, we may find those who have a downcast heart. Your heart may be miserable, sorrowful. Things may not go the way you would have them. Your heart may be frustrated. It may be low, mournful. You may at times speak of having a broken heart if your emotions have been struck, if you've suffered misery or loss. But it's not that sort of broken heart, the broken heart of love gone wrong, of which David speaks in Psalm 51. That's simply a sorrowful heart. A self-pitying heart. One that still thinks well of itself but just hasn't got what it wanted. Now the broken and the contrite heart of which David speaks is one that has been brought low. One in which the pride of man has been struck down. One in which the hardness of man has been broken up. One that does not think greatly of self. One that has been taught that it is nothing. A broken and a contrite heart. You may at times find those who are broken, but they are not contrite. Others may be contrite, but not truly broken. But David speaks here of those who have a broken and a contrite heart. And it is a broken and a contrite heart which God does not despise. You may come before God by nature with the arrogance of your heart. With a proud heart. And should you come before God with some strength in your own self in this way, in the pride of self, with great self-esteem, you'll find a God who turns away. Because God is not seeking the proud and the arrogant, but he'll break them first. God saves those whose hearts are broken and contrite. Can you say of your heart that it's been broken before God? Can you truly say that you are contrite? Has the Lord taught you something of what you are? Truly. Not simply on the surface. Not simply to be able to say, well, I'm not perfect, who is? Well, I've done wrong, but then so has everyone else. I have my faults and my failings. I try my best. I wish I was better. Everyone can say that. But it's a greatly different matter to be taught that you are nothing. To have your heart broken. To have your heart contrite. David, of course, penned this psalm, Psalm 51, at a time when the Lord had wrought in him a truly broken and a truly contrite heart. He'd fallen into the worst of sins. He'd been an adulterer, a murderer, a deceiver. He'd coveted. He turned away from his Lord, with whom he had walked. He had, as it were, broken every command which God had set before him in the law of God. He'd crashed down. And what made him do it? Why didn't he stand? Why did this one who knew better, for David did know better, why did this man who knew better fall so greatly? Why didn't he have the strength or the wisdom to resist? This was not someone who knew not God. This was not someone who knew not the will of God. He knew the law. He knew how God would judge. He knew what was right from what was wrong. And yet in the hour in which he fell, all the knowledge, all the upbringing, all the strength which he had by nature could do nothing to save him. And you can know the scriptures inside out. And you can be a Pharisee among Pharisees, as Paul was. You can know the law of God. You can be the most upright man or woman, attentive to the word of God, attending church regularly, listening to the gospel. And yet, should circumstances come your path like they did with David, should they come your way, you will have no more strength to stand in yourself than David did when he lusted after Bathsheba and had her husband killed in battle. David knew better, yet David fell. You and I may know better, yet like David we can fall. What does this teach us? And what did it teach David? It taught David that in his flesh, in his heart, there is no good thing. That by nature, he was sin through and through. By nature, as he says in verse 5, he was shapen in iniquity. And in sin did his mother conceive him. He knew that the Lord desired truth in the inward parts. And yet he discovered that in his inward parts, in his heart, there was no truth. There was no beauty. There was no righteousness. He was corrupt to the core. There was nothing in David by nature to make him worthy before his God or to give him the strength to stand when circumstances came his way that could cause him to stumble. If we stand, if we've not fallen as David fell, there's only one reason for it. It's not because we've done better. It's not because we're more righteous than David. It's not because we did the right thing and turned from the wrong things. It's because the Lord God kept us from falling. And should God allow us to fall, should God leave us to ourselves, as he left David to himself in this hour, then we come crashing down as hard as David. And when David came crashing down, the Lord taught him what he is. He taught him what his heart is. He broke that heart. And he made it contrite. And until the Lord teaches you and me what our hearts are, until he breaks them, until he makes them contrite, we'll never truly know what the Lord's salvation is. We need to be brought to where David was brought. Not perhaps as a consequence of a fall as David's fall, but nevertheless, we need the Lord to teach us what he taught David. For none know this except the Lord teach them. As I said, it's a rare thing to find one who has a truly broken and contrite heart, a truly broken spirit. A rare thing. It's yours. David could write in this state, "Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according unto the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions, wash me freely from mine iniquity, and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me. Against thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight." Now it takes a work of the Spirit of God. It takes the work of God to bring a man to this state. Many will say that, "Oh, I'm a sinner, as everyone else is." Many will say they've done wrong. But few can really speak with the language which David uses here. "Wash me freely from mine iniquity. Wash me thoroughly. And cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me." How freely do you acknowledge your transgressions? How freely would you say that your sin is ever before me? We don't very often. The heart of man is always justifying himself. He always finds somebody else to blame for everything that happens. Every trouble that comes his way is someone else's fault. Everything that goes wrong is somebody else's fault. If this hadn't happened, I wouldn't have done it. If they hadn't said this, I wouldn't have followed. If I hadn't been in this circumstance, I wouldn't have fallen. It's not my fault. I was simply led along. They did worse than me. They caused it to happen. This circumstance is the reason. I stole because I was poor. Every excuse, everything to blame. How often do we say, it was my fault, and I acknowledge my transgressions, and my sin is ever before me? And how often do we know that those sins and those transgressions are not merely things that we have done to other men? We may have stolen from another. We may have hurt another. We may have hated another, as David did. But David wrote not that he had sinned against other men, but he can say, as taught of God, against thee, thee only have I sinned, and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and be clear when thou judgest. David knew that his sin and his corruption, though against other men, was ultimately against his God. It set him apart from his God. It set a gulf between him and his Maker. He felt the corruption of his heart. He knew there was no good in him. He knew he needed a new heart. And he knew there was nothing that he could do to make that heart clean. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. This is how I am. This is what I'm like. It's not merely something I've done. I've not merely blotted my copybook through one or two incidents. But I am sinful. I am corrupt. This is my state. Those sins, those iniquities, those transgressions which I fell into, which I committed, I did because of this heart. He was taught to look deeper than the actions, deeper than the transgressions. He saw the sewer from which they sprang, the heart. You may know your deeds. You may know what you've done. But do you know why? Do you know your heart? David says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts and in the hidden part. Thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The Lord wants truth, not simply in the head. Wisdom, not simply in the intellect. Cleansing that is not simply of the surface. You can reform your outer conduct. You can perhaps, as some do, lead a fairly moral life and never fall outwardly into the depths in which David fell here. That's what the Pharisees in Jesus' day did. They made the outside of the platter and the cup white, Outwardly they were conformed to the law. Outwardly they never murdered. Outwardly they never committed adultery. Outwardly they worshipped God according to all the rites and the rituals to which they had been commanded. Outwardly they were great, wonderful, upright. But inwardly their hearts were just like David's. And it's there that we need to be taught. David cries out, "Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow." He knew he needed a cleansing. But there's nothing that he could do to cleanse himself. "Make me to hear joy and gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all mine iniquities. Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." He knew he needed to be clean. He knew he needed a new heart, a clean heart, a right spirit. But there's nothing that David could do to make it. There's nothing that David could do to clean that heart. And that's what God taught him. He brought him so low. He broke his heart to teach him that there's nothing he could do to mend that heart. Nothing. And that's why God broke his heart. Because until our hearts are truly broken and are truly contrite, we'll forever be seeking to patch them up. Until we're brought as low as David was brought here, we go about forever seeking in our own strength to please God, or in our own strength to stand upright in the presence of others. Every time we fall, we just get up again and we carry on going. And we think, well, I'll try not to do that again. And perhaps if I turn away from this and turn away from that, my conscience will be clean. And God will weigh my good deeds against my bad deeds. And perhaps if my good deeds outweigh the bad, then he'll be happy with me. And that's how we go on. We try to forget what we've done. We lift ourselves up through the pride we take in some good that we do. We turn ourselves back to the scriptures or prayer. We immerse ourselves in some good deeds and some good works. And we gain some self-esteem. And we gain some feeling that God is now pleased with us. And yet our hearts within are just the same. "Create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me." We need to be broken. We need to be broken. Because until we're broken, we'll never truly call upon God to be our Saviour. For our hearts rest in ourselves. Until we're truly emptied, we cannot be filled. Until we're brought to nothing, we will never see Jesus Christ to be our all. Until we're brought to an end of self, then Christ will not be all our salvation. Until we're brought to an end of our deeds and our works, then we will never receive the grace of God. God saves through grace. entirely by grace. Grace from start to finish. It's of his tender mercies that David's transgressions were blotted out. According to God's loving kindness. According to his grace. And God never mixes grace with works. And whilst David still had some strength, whilst David's heart still had some strength in itself, whilst David's heart still had some pride in it, some haughtiness in it, some self-esteem, David would never truly know the grace of God that brings salvation. And until God breaks your heart, you'll continue to rest in yourself. You need a broken heart. And that's why when God sends his gospel, when he sends it in power, it begins with a breaking. A breaking. It begins with a voice crying in the wilderness, which makes way for the coming of the Lord. Christ doesn't just come freely to whoever and patch them up in their natural state. There's a preceding work. There's a breaking down of the proud heart. There's a sounding out of the wrath of God which burns from heaven against all ungodliness and unrighteousness of men. There's a breaking. People speak of accepting Jesus, of inviting Jesus into their heart. But until that heart be cleansed, do they really think that Jesus is going to enter in? Do they honestly think, do you honestly think that Jesus is going to enter into your filthy heart? What sort of an invite is it to give to Almighty God to welcome him in to an unbroken, a corrupt, a wicked, a filthy, guilty, rebellious heart, an iniquitous heart? What sort of a place is that for God to enter? There must be a way prepared. God saves the worst of sinners, yes. God saved the chief of sinners in Paul. That iniquitous Pharisee who was clean on the outside but filthy on the inside, who hearing of Christ and those who followed him sought to slay those who followed him. God saved him, but he didn't save him without breaking that heart first and without cleansing that heart and without preparing a perfect and a righteous entrance for the Son of God to enter in. God gave Paul a new heart that Christ might enter into Paul and be his Saviour. God saved David despite his iniquity, despite his fall. He saved him with an almighty and an everlasting salvation. But not before he gave David a new heart. Not before he'd broken the old. Not before he'd broken the hard and the proud and the arrogant heart which David had by nature. Not before he'd shown David what he was. Not before he'd shown David his need and caused David to cry out unto the Lord to save him. The heart must be broken. And the gospel begins with the breaking of the hard heart. The gospel is good news. It's good news. It brings the news of a finished and an almighty salvation. It brings news of righteousness for those who are unrighteous. It brings news of eternal life for those who are dead. But that good news comes when they are shown, when these people are shown that they are dead, and when they are shown that they are sinners, and when they are shown that they have a need. Has God shown you your need? For when you're shown your need, you will love the one who came to fulfill that need. You will love with a true love the one who came to take away your stony and your hard heart. The one who came to create a new heart. The one who came to give a new spirit. The one who came to breathe life into those who are dead. Then you will love. Then you will cry out, and then you will know. But not until you're brought where David was brought here. Not until you can cry out with David unto the Lord. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation. Uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation. And then my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. David knew he was guilty. Guilty of blood. Iniquitous through and through. His heart was broken. And it's from a broken and a contrite spirit that the Lord heard his cries. It's when David's heart was broken and contrite that the Lord did not despise his cries, that the Lord did not reject his prayers, that the Lord came unto David in grace, came unto David to heal, came unto David to take him who was wounded and heal his wounds, came unto David to cleanse his lips, to cleanse his words, to put a right spirit within him, to open his lips to show forth the praise of God. Then David was lifted up. Then David was lifted out of the pits of death and lifted up to stand upon a rock of righteousness. Then David knew, in a way he had never known until that point, what it was to be in Christ, what it was to be saved with an almighty salvation, what it was to be delivered from all his iniquity. David may have known what it was to walk with the Lord. But the Lord needed to break him and show him that his all was in Christ. Has he broken you? Has he broken you? In Micah, we read of the Lord's love for his people, his flock. Micah chapter 2. We read of how the Lord breaks his people. He says in Micah 2 and verse 12, I will surely assemble, O Jacob, all of thee. I will surely gather the remnant of Israel. I will put them together as the sheep of Bozrah, as the flock in the midst of their fold. They shall make great noise by reason of the multitude of men. Yes, there's this promise of salvation. The Lord will gather Jacob, he will gather the remnant of Israel as the sheep of Bozrah. But he begins with what he says in verse 13. The breaker has come up before them. They have broken up and have passed through the gate and are gone out by it. And their king shall pass before them and the Lord on the head of them. The Lord breaks his people first before he leads them forth. Like a horse which needs to be broken in. Their wild nature needs to be destroyed. And having been broken, then he cleanses. Then he sends his gospel. Then he proclaims to those who are broken, those who are low, those who know their need, those who cry out from the depths of their heart unto their God, Lord, save. Lord, have mercy upon me. Lord, turn not thy face from me. Then he speaks gladness to their hearts. As Isaiah says in chapter 61, the Spirit of the Lord God is upon me, because the Lord hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek. He sent me to bind up the brokenhearted, to proclaim liberty to the captives, and the opening of the prison to them that are bound, to proclaim the acceptable year of the Lord and the day of vengeance of our God, to comfort all that mourn. The Lord heard David's cry. David mourned, he cried. He was a captive seeking liberty. He was brokenhearted. And the Lord came unto him preaching the gospel. He heard him. And he heard him for Christ's sake. He heard his cries. He heard David's cry. He saw David's broken heart. And he had compassion on him. He had compassion on him. The Lord didn't break David's heart to cast him off forever. The Lord wasn't out to destroy him. The Lord wasn't out to bring him to ruin. And should your heart be broken, should the Lord teach you your state, should the Lord bring you into these straits and cause you to call out and cry for mercy, know this. If that's the Lord's doing to bring you to where you are, he's not out to destroy you. He's not out to cast you out. He won't turn a blind ear to you. He won't turn a deaf ear to you. He hears. The breaking's but for a moment, but for a time. It has an end in view. It's to bring you to cry out to the only one that can heal. The only one that can cleanse. The only one that can give you a new heart. The only one that can give you a true heart. The only one that can put truth in your inward parts. The only one that can write wisdom within you. The only one who can save. The only one that can bring you, a dead sinner, unto life. The only one who can purge your iniquities. The only one who can blot out your transgressions. He brings you to call out unto him. To call out unto the Lord God, who sent his Son to die in the place of sinners. Who sent his Son to die for David. Who sent his Son to die for Paul. Who sent his Son into this world. God made man. God walking amongst men. As man. The Son of God. The Lord Jesus Christ. The God who sent this one into this world for one end, to go to a place of sacrifice, to go to a cross, to go to a place where he should be slain, where he should be destroyed instead of David, where he should die instead of Paul, where he should be judged for the iniquities of David and of Paul, instead of David and instead of Paul, where he should die in the place of the sinner, and where God should destroy him and judge him for those sins instead of that sinner. If the Lord has taught you that you're a sinner, then know that Christ died for sinners, and Christ died to take the sins of sinners upon himself, that their sins might be judged, not in them, not in you, if you're his, but in Christ. This is the one to whom David looked, and this is the one who purged his sins, because his sins were purged, and his sins were judged, and his sins were blotted out, just not in David, but in one who stood in David's place. And God could forgive David. God could make David clean. God could give David a new heart, because Christ, his Saviour, his salvation, had taken away those sins, and had taken away that sin, and had taken away that stony heart. And by blotting out those sins and that sin, he could give David a new heart and a new spirit. And having died, Christ on the third day, rising again from the grave, in everlasting life, in newness of life, having nothing to keep him in the grave for every last one of David's transgressions, every last one of Paul's transgressions, every last one of the transgressions of all God's people in Christ, had been judged, and there was nothing to keep Christ in the grave. So Christ rose victorious, rose with a mighty salvation, and David rose in Christ with everlasting life, and Paul rose, and all those who were given a broken and a contrite heart at the hand of God, who are then cleansed by Christ in his death, rise with him too, and are given by his grace a new heart and a new spirit. Oh, have you looked unto this one upon the tree? Have you looked unto this one who comes to heal the brokenhearted? Unto this one who comes to bring peace where there was no peace? Unto this one who brought in righteousness where there was only sin? Unto this one who brings life where there was death? Unto this one who heals, who binds up the brokenhearted, who brings comfort to those who mourn, and who brings liberty to the captives. Oh, flee unto Christ. Flee unto Christ. May God show you your heart, and may he give you by his grace the heart which he gave David. A new heart, a perfect heart, a clean heart, a heart which is whiter than snow, a heart of righteousness, a heart of righteousness. May he give you a new life, a perfect life, the life of Christ within. may he give you a new spirit, the spirit of Christ within, and may he grant unto you a salvation which can never be taken away. No matter how much you fall, no matter how much you stumble, no matter what you may do between now and the day in which you enter into eternity, may he give you a salvation which can never be taken away. For it is wrought not by the hand of man, not by the hand of Paul, not by the hand of David, but by God's hand, a mighty hand, an almighty hand, with everlasting strength, with a sure and a certain salvation, which brings everlasting peace. And may you be given the lips which David was given to show forth God's praise as the one who came to save sinners. Amen.